Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
And we're back for another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be with you, closing out the week. And we're going to do it by paying some homage to the local sports front. Such a busy, busy week. And as far as local baseball and softball goes, this is the week that we wait for all year long. We got Emory playing right now, the Carbon Dino baseball team. They open up the 3A state tournament tomorrow. And then on top of that, we get the Carbon Lady Dino softball squad, the USU Eastern baseball team. They just wrapped up their season. And the Emory Lady Spartans, they didn't qualify for the softball state tournament, but they did end on a positive note with a victory over Paiute. So there's a lot to get to. On today's show, we're going to focus on that, getting you set up for a busy weekend of local baseball. I love the local sports front, something that makes Drive Time Sports so unique as we mix national and local together. So today, heavy focus on the local sports front. We've had Coach Wade Williams of the Carbon Lady Dinos on the show. We've had Jeff Cincinnatus this week, and we've had Steve Gordon. So we're going to get you set up for the weekend. That's all coming up. Now, with that being said, we got to take a look at what's happening in the national sports front. Last night, what a shocker that was. I pegged this one wrong. I refused to throw dirt on San Antonio, and eventually I figured that would come back to bite me. I expected them to get the victory last night, and I thought if they won last night, they would get game seven at home, absolutely. San Antonio made a nice push down the stretch, but Oklahoma City taking care of business. Oklahoma City did exactly what they needed to do to win that series, and last night they put the final touches on it. They definitely served us some chaos. They interrupted what we thought was inevitable, and that was Golden State and San Antonio. Here's what's impressive about it. They took care of a team that won 67 games. Historically speaking, we don't talk a lot about it this season because Golden State won 73. San Antonio won 67 games. And they did that with Greg Popovich really messing with the lineup throughout the entire season. That's a very good San Antonio team. Again, as we mentioned yesterday, the X factors for Oklahoma City. Everybody knows Russell Westbrook is one of the best top six players in the league. Everybody knows that Kevin Durant is a top six player in the league. Everybody knows that. A couple of guys that have elevated Oklahoma City, at least throughout this particular series, and is Cantor, and also Steven Adams, and even Serge Ibaka. The way these guys played, it puts this team at another level because they're getting so much production from the bigs. I mean, take a look at what Steven Adams was able to accomplish last night. Double-double, 15 points, 11 boards. Very efficient from the field at 6-for-7. Serge Ibaka played good defensively. He had 3 blocks. Wasn't great offensively. He was like 3-of-9 from the field. But he was very good defensively, grabbed 10 boards, and he forced some disruption inside the paint. Enes Kanter didn't shoot the ball particularly well, finished with 7 points, but he spreads out the floor. We've seen even instances in this series where he's taken a couple of 3-point shots. Those three guys are key. Now, when Dion Waiters comes into the game and you get a plus 12 out of Dion Waiters, it's icing on the cake. The bigs for Oklahoma City have got to step up and have an even better set against Golden State if they want to win that series. It's possible. It's possible because you have 2 of the top 6 or 7 players in the NBA right now in Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. I think coming up, we have a series that's going to make history. I think it's going to be one of the top NBA playoff series that we have seen in quite some time. I hope it lives up to the hype. Definitely San Antonio and Oklahoma City did. It was a shocker. Like I said, they fed us some chaos. And before we get to the Western Conference showdown, I think the big question is, what's next for San Antonio? Does Tim Duncan come back? I think it's probably time for Tim Duncan to hang it up. What about Manu Ginobili? It's probably about time for Manu Ginobili to hang it up. No decision has been made by either player. Tim Duncan's not going to get a farewell tour like Kobe. He's not that kind of guy. He doesn't want that. He's been quiet his entire career. He's going to ride off to the sunset, and he's going to do it quietly. Duncan left some questions following the game last night. He says, "I'll get to that after I get out of here and figure out life. That's it." Ginobili, meanwhile, said that he plans on taking some time, as always, on deciding his future. Ginobili's 38 years old. He's had a heck of a run. You look at what Ginobili and Duncan and Parker have done together. The option on Duncan's deal is worth about $6.4 million next season, while Ginobili's option sits at about $3 million. So you're going to be leaving some money on the table. Duncan is 40 years old, just completed 19 seasons. Only Kobe Bryant has played more seasons with one individual franchise. Stockton played 19 with the Jazz. Duncan has played 19 with the Spurs. Greg Popovich was asked last night if he thought it was Duncan's last game, and he basically had no idea. He said that it would be news to him if it was Tim Duncan's last game. So I think it's about time for Duncan. I think fatigue definitely set in, and they were just outplayed by a younger, fresher squad. I think there's a group of unselfish people on the San Antonio team. I think Kawhi Leonard is almost too unselfish. I think LaMarcus Aldridge is almost too unselfish. You know, what's funny, though, is LaMarcus Aldridge leaves Portland, goes to San Antonio. Portland gets ousted by Golden State in 5. LaMarcus Aldridge gets ousted by OKC in 6. And I bring that up because he was the biggest free agent fish. San Antonio lands him. They land David West. And all of a sudden, they look like they would be unstoppable. And it just didn't work out. NBA playoffs tonight. Toronto has an opportunity to close out the Miami Heat. Tip-off for that game is set for 6 p.m. Toronto with a 3-2 series lead. I expect this series to go 7 as well. But I expected Oklahoma City and San Antonio to go 7. And that didn't quite work out. Can Miami get it done on their home court? I think so, and then I think we go to a Game 7 where it's basically a coin flip. Let's take a look at the schedule in Major League Baseball because, well, it's Friday, so you get some day baseball games pretty much throughout the day. We had Pittsburgh and Chicago earlier on. Chicago ran away with that one, topping the Pirates. 5 o'clock start times. Detroit at Baltimore. The White Sox at the Yankees. We get Miami at Washington. Cincinnati at Philly. Houston at Boston. Minnesota at Cleveland. Oakland at Tampa Bay. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. 6 o'clock, it's Toronto at Texas, San Diego at Milwaukee, Atlanta at Kansas City, and then the Mets at the Rockies. 3 games to close us out in the nightcap. San Francisco at Arizona, the Angels at the Mariners, and the Dodgers playing host to the Cardinals. We're going to pause for just a moment. Great show lined up, geared towards local sports, coming up next as we wrap up a week here on Drive Time Sports. You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports, local baseball edition.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
More Coach's Corner here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM. And 7:50 a.m. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Yesterday, we talked Carbon High Baseball. Do not forget tonight, their annual alumni game. It's going to start at 6 o'clock at the Helper American Legion Field. Make sure you get out, support the team. The final chance you'll have to see this team at home before they go to the state tournament. Speaking of state tournament baseball, over the weekend, the Emory Spartans enter a 4 seed. They knock off a 1, and then they continue their stellar stretch and knock off Kanab to get into the quarterfinals. Now we only have 4 teams remaining in the 2A state tournament without a loss. It's a true double elimination format. One of those 2 teams happens to be Emory High School. Joining us now to talk a bit about that, we have Coach Steve Gordon. Coach, great to get you on today. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely, Coach. It's crunch time, and we had you on last week, and you're a 4 seed going into the state tournament, and you told me that you actually liked your chances. You thought that this team was playing the best baseball that they had been playing all year long. So you go in a 4 seed, you knock off the 1 on their home field, and then you get another victory. So now, out of the final 4 teams yet to suffer a loss, there's 3 ones and a 4 seed left. It's been quite the weekend.
Yeah, we had a great weekend of baseball, and you know, no, we weren't expected to go win 2 games, and but we went over and competed, and our guys gave it their all, and we made plays, and we hit the ball when we needed to, and you know, things just worked out. It was a great day of baseball for us.
You talk about things working out. I mean, it doesn't matter, Coach, if you have all the talent in the world. You need luck, and it looks like you guys had a little bit of that. But you managed to take advantage of the openings that South Sevier and Kanab gave you. I mean, was that a problem throughout the year? Teams were giving you guys, you know, openings and chances, and you just failed to convert?
Yeah, that's been our problem all year. You know, we've lost, you know, a lot of games, but we just have missed that big hit when it was crunch time, you know, with bases loaded, runners on second, third. Just all year long, we've just haven't had anybody step up and get that big hit. And this weekend, you know, we had, you know, a couple guys get huge hits for us, and you know, that was the difference in the game. So baseball's a funny game. It, you know, it takes one hit in one situation, and the whole game changes. So, and we, you know, our guys stepped up. I'm proud as could be of the guys to go get two wins.
You guys knock off a one seed on their home field. I'm sure the guys were absolutely elated. How difficult is it to kind of get them grounded, saying, hey, we got another game that we got to go play right now?
Yeah, it's tough, and we had a little time, and they actually moved us from the South Sevier site to Richfield just with weather situations. But, you know, it's tough to regroup because we won the game we probably shouldn't have, and now the pressure's on, at least the coach's standpoint. You know, now I'm in panic mode because it's like, oh, no, now we've got to win the second one because that's the one we should. And but our guys, they handled it well, and, you know, when we started the second game, we jumped out on them 5-0, and I think just our whole mentality has changed over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and we've turned into a pretty good baseball team.
Last week, Coach, we talked about the seniors. You have a few seniors on this team. They know what it takes to win. I did feel bad for the seniors at certain points in time this season because they've been so accustomed to winning, and you guys had some real downfalls. For the seniors, this is fantastic.
Yeah, you know, they've all chipped in and done a great job. You know, Bryce has been solid for us on the mound all year, and, you know, Stilson was one of them that got a big hit in the seventh inning against Kanab, give us a couple more runs, and Tristan had a 3-for-4 day at the plate, and Wyatt had some great catches all day long both games. So all four of the seniors really did a great job, and then we had several other kids that contributed. So, yeah, it's turned out to be a good year for us. You know, we still have big road ahead to win some games from here on out because they're really good teams. But, hey, we're in the winner's bracket and really couldn't be happier. Just look forward to go playing on Thursday.
You knock off South Sevier 5-4. You beat Kanab 9-6. Out of the two games, which game did you felt your team played a more complete contest in?
Oh, it was South Sevier, definitely. It was a tight game. You know, all through the game, it was a close game. And, you know, they are the better team and better pitching. And our guys were just, I think we were just focused and we made plays. And they did have an error that, you know, we had a ground ball. We were down 3-1 and they had a ground ball in the fifth inning. And they overthrew it to first and we got our guy to third. And then a pass ball, we scored him, and then, you know, they got a little bit rattled and walked a couple guys and a base hit, and then, you know, Easton hit a double in the gap to clear the bases, and that put us up 5-3. So, you know, we took advantage of their mistake, and it seems like it usually happens to us, but this time we got a little break and we got a little luck, and we took advantage of it, and that, I mean, it just worked out perfect for us.
Coach Steve Gordon of the Emory Sport and Baseball Team, our guest right now. Coach, I know you take it game by game. We talked about this last week. But now that you have some time to actually reflect and absorb everything that happened in the opening weekend, I mean, this is a team that barely got into the state tournament. And now, as it stands, you're three more wins away from a state championship. I mean, is it feasible? Is it something that the kids believe that they can now accomplish?
Oh, yeah. They're talking about it. And they're the ones saying, hey, we got three more games, you know, focus up three more games. And that's kind of the approach we took from our play-in game. I mean, even though, like you mentioned, we have a play-in game and we won win 6-5 in that game, or we're not even in the state tournament. So we've kind of been just approaching it one game at a time. And, you know, to be honest, you know, I'm doing all my scouting reports and everything I can possibly do, you know, to beat North Sevier. And then after that game, then we worry about the next. But our guys are, I mean, they're excited and hungry. And, you know, I think we're really peaking at the right time. We haven't been a very good baseball team, but we really are turning into a good baseball team, and it's good timing. It's hard to get a team to peak at the right time, but honestly, out of all the teams I've ever coached, I think this crew is really peaking, and it's great timing.
Well, we look at the four teams that remain. Again, as I mentioned, you got 3-1 seeds, Enterprise, Summit Academy, and North Sevier, and then you got a 4-seed, Nemery. You go up against North Sevier. This is a team that you're familiar with. You share a region with them. Coach, you guys gave them all they could handle. One contest, they 10-run you another. You go back, you reflect on those two games. What stands out to you?
Well, I think, the thing, we had them 1-0 going into the sixth inning of their place, and they've beat a lot of people, and they've beat them pretty bad. And it's kind of the same scenario with South Sevier. I don't think they've been in a lot of tight games. And, we have. We've been in a lot of tight games, or we've been on the losing end, and we still play through it. I think if we can go get a couple-run lead on them, and I think they start pressing a little bit. And, I think we did the same thing to South Sevier once we got that lead. You know, they kind of didn't know how to react, and they kind of fell apart a little bit. And so, we're going to try to jump on them early and then play baseball, and hopefully we can come out with a win.
Things definitely change at this stage in the tournament, because now it's all kind of grouped together 2 days. 2 days will decide a winner. How does the pitching change for you? I know you went through three pitchers, I believe, this past weekend. How does that change for you at all? Or do you just go out and you use everything that you can possibly... You use every pitcher if you have to win one game.
Yeah, you have to stay in that winner's bracket. We're going to do everything we can to win that first game. We've got a lot of guys that can throw, and we had, besides our three that threw on Saturday, we had five different kids throwing a bullpen yesterday to get ready, and they're called on, they're ready to go. So you definitely have to go out and try to win Thursday, and then anything happens.
Tail Gardner, he gets a victory for you guys in the win against South Sevier. Coach, this is a kid that I'm really impressed with. I watched Tail pitch a lot last summer when he was playing in the Perfect Game League with the Carbon County squad. To see where he's at today compared to where he was at this summer, he's shown tremendous growth.
Yeah, he has, even the last couple weeks, he kind of went through a little bit of funk in mid-year with a little bit of mechanic issues, and, we tried to fine-tune that and, get him a little smoother and step a little lighter, and he's been solid the last two outings. I mean, he's really throwing it really well right now, and he's confident, so that's the main thing. But and the good thing, he's only a junior, so that helps for next year. But I haven't decided completely who we're gonna throw, but I imagine I think I'm gonna probably throw Tail that first game, and then we'll go from there.
You mentioned staying in the winner's bracket. You've been all through this tournament. At what point? It's never good to lose, or you never want to lose, but at what point in a state tournament like this, that's true double elimination format, is it easier to bounce back once you suffer a loss?
It might be this first round, on Thursday. You get into Friday, and if you happen to lose that semifinal, then kids are devastated, and that's a really tough one, probably worse than the quarterfinal, But even if we lost the game on Thursday, on Friday we'd face a team that's already played two games down there. And so, normally you would think you'd be facing a number three pitcher. And, I just like our chances to get deep into the tournament. We've kind of put ourselves in a great spot, and now we just need to take advantage of it. And, that's what we told our guys yesterday, and, I think they're up for it.
Well, Coach, it is always fun again to talk to you. Thank you again for the time. Best of luck as you guys go finish out the season. It's been a fun ride so far. It's definitely been fun to cover. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
That's Coach Steve Gordon of the Emory Sport and Baseball Team. Best of luck to Emory as they travel on the road. They're going to leave tomorrow, but then they'll actually start playing the games on Thursday. We'll keep you up to date right here at Castle Country Radio and, of course, on Drive Time Sports. We'll pause for just a moment. When we return, we're going to flip over to the national sports scene here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. You're listening to the Best of Drive Time Sports Local Baseball Edition. Joining us back in the studio today, Coach Jeff Cincinnati of the Carbon Dino Baseball Squad. Coach, it has been a while. Great to get you back in here.
Oh, good to get back in, Jordan. Thanks.
Yeah, definitely. The regular season, it's over. Went by in a hurry for you guys. 6-6, you finished the league season. I know you had an opportunity to lock up the 2 seed, or at least come close to locking up the 2 seed on Friday against UAB. Unfortunately, those 3-game sweeps, they're hard to complete.
Yeah, they are. No matter what team you're playing, it seemed like this year they were awful hard to complete, and you know, hard for just about everybody to beat somebody 3 times, no matter how good you are or you know what the circumstances are. But yeah, we definitely had a chance Friday. A win at UAB definitely would have locked up the 2 seed for us in our region. Didn't happen. We lose a really tight 4-3 ball game. Now we're kind of sitting here waiting to see what UAB does with a couple makeup games that they didn't finish up during the regular season. They have a game today with Canyon View and a game tomorrow with Richfield, which for Canyon View and Richfield doesn't mean a whole lot. They've locked up the number 1 and number 4 seed regardless, but these 2 games for UAB, they mean a lot for UAB and for us. So, you know, we'll see how those games go. We kind of had the opportunity to, you know, decide where we go and what we do, and, you know, that's out of our hands now. But either way, we'll either take the third seed or, you know, maybe get the 2 seed.
You know, you look at it as a whole at the beginning of the season. I know you predict, well, I'm not going to say you predicted, but the coaches predicted that Carbon would finish 2nd in Region 12. Was it predictable that this region would be this good front to back? Because Richfield is a 4 seed, a team I wouldn't want to play in the state tournament.
Yeah, we are, you know, we are a pretty good region. I mean, if you look at it, I honestly think, you know, we could be the 2nd best region next to Cedar City and St. George and them, top to bottom anyway. But, you know, the surprise team to me was UAB this year. And, you know, UAB made a coaching change 6 games into the season this year, fired their head coach after the preseason games, brought in their current head coach. And I'm going to be honest, their current head coach has done a great job with their team. He's turned their attitude around. The kids are playing extremely hard. He's got some baseball knowledge, obviously, understands the game and situations, and has really changed the look of their team. And I knew going in that they had the athletes, but just from playing them in the summer and playing them last year, I didn't feel like they were a threat, you know, to win a region title. I actually thought Richfield was, going to be a bigger threat for everybody because of their athletes and the Torgerson kid who's a left-handed pitcher for them. But so UAB is a real surprise, I think, for everybody. And anybody who gets them in the next round, you know, is going to find out that they're a pretty good baseball team. You know, we were fortunate to win 2 games here at home last week with them. Great ball games, you know, a 1-0 game in 9 innings and then a 3-2 ball game to follow that up. And then we lose the 4-3 ball game. So all 1-run games and all really well-played games when you look at it from, you know, a baseball perspective. Not a lot of errors and, you know, some good plays on both sides and good pitching. So, you know, I give a lot of credit to UAB and their coaching staff for kind of turning their program around early season and making it what it is. And so I didn't really see them at the beginning of the year being where they're at right now. But we talked off air, and that's why you play the game, and you play every game, and every game matters. You know, they're kind of getting a little bit of a break, I think, right now, even though they got to play 2 games this week. You know, for these games to not mean anything for Canyon View and Richfield, as far as standings go, I don't see Canyon View or Richfield, you know, maybe pitching their best pitchers and putting a lot of thought into winning either one of those games. So that could be a break for UAB because they do mean a lot for UAB and for us. But, you know, we had our opportunity to control our own destiny, and we gave that opportunity up. A real bad loss at North St. Pete a couple weeks ago. You know, the loss at Richfield at their place where we got 10 run, and then, of course, the loss on Friday. Those are all games that we controlled, and we didn't take advantage of our opportunity, and that's why we're in the situation we're in right now.
Is it nerve-wracking? I guess in this case it wouldn't be too nerve-wracking. I mean, you know you're going to the state tournament, but yet scoreboard watching is never fun. Nobody ever wants to do that.
No, as a coach, you want to worry more about what your team's doing and not doing, and I've always kind of prided myself as a coach to do that, but yet in the back of your mind, you are watching what other teams are doing, and obviously right now, you know, we're watching what UAB does the next 2 days, and it's unfortunate, but I'm still, regardless if we take 2nd or 3rd, I'm still more worried about the Carbon High baseball team than I am about who we're playing or anything else. It's been a year where we've just been so inconsistent day in and day out, and inning to inning, game to game, I mean, you name it, we've we've just been really inconsistent. And I thought for the most part in the JUAB series here the last three games that we played pretty consistent. It wasn't maybe the best. We didn't hit the ball the best that I feel like we could. But we were really consistent. Our pitching was consistent all three games. Our defense was consistent. And realistically, our hitting was consistent. It just wasn't great. But, you know, to have some consistency in our team right now makes me feel a little bit more comfortable heading into the state playoffs. You know, would I rather that we were putting 20 runs on the board? I mean, obviously, every coach wants that. But I'm really happy that we are a little bit more consistent than we were earlier in the year. And hopefully, you know, that consistency will pay off and we'll get things done in the next couple of weeks.
Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbondale baseball team, our guest right now. Coach, if we look forward to the state tournament, it's not rocket science. I mean, teams that have success in this type of tournament with this current format, they win the first two games because there's so much baseball to be played in a seven-game time frame if you lose one of the first two games. And a lot of teams just don't have the pitching to be able to handle that.
Yeah, the first, you know, winning these first two games is so important. And, you know, we were fortunate last year to do that and, you know, then went to the next round and lost the next two. But, you know, if you're going to come through the loser's bracket in this type of format, you know, with the quality of teams that 3A has, it's awful tough. And I look at it this year, and I don't think there's a team in 3A, you know, obviously somebody could come through the loser's bracket, but there's not a team in 3A that's really got three standout pitchers on their team. There's a couple teams that have two really good pitchers, and a lot of us have one really good pitcher. It might be a year in 3A where the pitching's down a little bit compared to where it's been. I thought last year there were a handful of teams that could have came through a loser's bracket because of the pitching they had, and I just don't see that this year. But, yeah, pitching's always important, and, you know, hitting goes a long ways with pitching. If you can back up a mediocre pitcher with a lot of good hitting, I mean, you're going to go somewhere too. But dropping in the loser's bracket the first weekend is going to make it extremely tough for anybody to come through a loser's bracket. And I just see some dominant teams with at least two good pitchers this year that I don't see that happening with a loser coming through.
So with all that being said, going into the first round of the state tournament, do you try, obviously, you try to limit your starting, your innings for your starting pitchers as much as possible, don't you?
Yeah, well, you know, your first, if we all play on Saturday, all of your innings would start over again for the following Thursday, Friday, Saturday when you move on. So, you know, as far as the innings go, you're not really concerned, you know, too much. Just a matter of, you know, what kind of shape is your pitcher's arms in and things like that. Obviously, you want them at full speed. But, you know, you're going to do everything you can to win those two games next Saturday, knowing that your pitching does start over. It starts over on Sunday. The pitching records for the state go from Sunday to Saturday. So, you know, anything that goes on from Sunday to Saturday counts as a week. So, you know, it'll all start over again for us. But, yeah, you want your pitcher's arms healthy. I mean, you know, we've got some kids right now are still nursing some sore arms. And, you know, you want to help them along and whatnot. But, I mean, you got to do everything you can to win those two games. And, you know, first and foremost, you got to win at least one game to get out of the weekend. And we don't want to be the one team in our pod that doesn't come out of the weekend, you know, with a win. So we're going to do everything we can to win that first game. And if we're unfortunate there, we're going to do everything we can to win the second one, you know, regardless of who has to pitch and who does what, because there is no tomorrow if you don't win a game next Saturday.
Coach, let's move off of the state tournament talk here for just a moment. The local area, they'll have one more chance to take a look at this baseball team before you guys go to the state tournament. This is always a fun deal. You guys have an alumni game. It's kind of an annual event, and it'll take place tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to have an alumni game. We had one last year. It actually is a game that I have to schedule, you know, on our schedule as a game. They don't just let us, you know, have fun and just play an alumni game without it being scheduled. So I had an opening this week on our varsity schedule where we couldn't get anybody that wanted to come down and play us this week. Everybody likes to play a game this week, and I would have definitely taken a game had I could have got somebody to come this way. I didn't want to travel, knowing we're going to travel on Saturday. But we're going to have an alumni game again. Last year I thought it was a good game for our guys. They got to see some really good pitching and really good competition. This alumni team will be made up of ex-Carbon and ex-Helper American Legion players. And, you know, we've got 10 or 11 guys lined up to come down and play tomorrow against our high school team. And I think they're going to give them a good look at some really good pitching. Some guys are going to throw a little bit harder than maybe what they've even seen this year and try and get us prepared, you know, to go up this weekend. I know the guys coming in for the alumni game are kind of viewing it as a fun opportunity to get back out and play. I'm viewing it, and our team's going to view it as a chance to get better. And it's not going to be something that we're just kind of out screwing around and taking time off. We're going to play it extremely hard. We're going to get all our pitchers some time, and we're going to play it as serious as we can to get better this week. And, you know, obviously don't want to have anybody get hurt. And you start messing around and not playing hard and going full speed, that's when you have injuries happen. And so, you know, we're going to take this opportunity to play this like any other game that we'd be playing this week. And, you know, hopefully it goes off for us and helps us out. It's going to be at 6 p.m. tomorrow at the Helper Legion Field. So, you know, I invite anybody who's not doing anything tomorrow to come out. I mean, you're going to see some really good ex-Carbon High and American Legion baseball players, guys who, you know, won a state title in high school while they were here at Carbon. You know, we got Joe V is going to play. You know, he's going to give it a go around again. Joe's getting up there a little bit, but always competitive. You know, Brady Martinez may make it down to play and do a little pitching against us. You know, we're talking about a guy who won a state title here, went on to pitch in college and went on to pitch in the minor leagues and had a great baseball career. And we're hoping he gets a chance to break away and come down and maybe, you know, maybe throw at our team a little bit. And then some guys who, you know, won, you know, a couple of Legion state titles in the past few years, you know, guys that can actually play the game and are really going to push our high school team and hopefully make us better. So, again, that's a 6 p.m. start, and, you know, hopefully the weather's nice tomorrow and people can get a chance to come out. And, you know, Legion Park looks really, really good right now. You know, the rain we've had the last few weeks have really greened it up, and I think the park's in almost as good a shape as it's ever been. And, you know, kind of exciting to keep playing baseball on that field. It's just it's a special place, and, you know, just a great opportunity to, again, see the high school team and see some of these guys that just got through playing ball here in the last few years.
Coach, it is always fun to get you in. Definitely appreciate the time. Best of luck as you guys prepare for the state tournament. I know we'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, we'll get back in and talk. Like we talked off air a little bit, we'll talk a little bit more about this in the future, but we are going to have another season of Helper American Legion Baseball this summer. Last year we stepped away from it and didn't have an opportunity to play. We did some other stuff, and you know, we're going to get a chance this summer again to bring American Legion Baseball back to Helper, and I'm excited about that. We'll also have a younger team that'll participate in you know, Utah's Perfect Game League like we did last year. So plan on running two baseball programs this summer and trying to get all the kids in our area an opportunity in both Emory County as well to get some baseball. And, you know, not to get off the subject too much, but want to congratulate Emory High on their two wins this past weekend in their opening round of the state tournament, you know, going up against the number one seed and getting a win with South Sevier, and then follow that up with Kanab. You know, it's a great job by Coach Gordon, and want to wish those kids the best of luck in the upcoming week as they finish up their state tournament. And, you know, hopefully we represent Carbon County well, and we can go up and do the best we can on Saturday and come away with a few wins and then continue the following week up at Kearns. But, again, you know, we will have Legion Baseball back in the area this year, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later when we get back on and go over when some tryouts and things like that will be. But I'm excited about getting that back in our area.
Yeah, there's definitely plenty of baseball still to come. So, Coach, again, thank you, and we'll catch up again with you next week.
Thanks, Jordan.
You're listening to the Best of Drive Time Sports Local Baseball Edition.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
Time for another edition of the Coach's Corner. Spring sports season on the local front really heating up. We got about a week left in the track and field season. We got about a weekend left in the 2A baseball ranks. We got another week left in 3A baseball and softball. So things are definitely heating up. Saturday, the Carbon Lady Dino softball squad, they'll open up 3A tournament action. They go on the road. They got to travel to St. George. They'll take on Stansbury. That's the number 3 seed from Region 10. Carbon, the number 2 seed from Region 12. They won the coin toss. They could have finished anywhere from 2 to 4 because of a 3-way tie. But fortunately, the Lady Dinos, they grabbed the number 2 spot. Joining us over the phone right now to talk about the end of the season, winning the coin flip, and what lies ahead for the team, we have Coach Wade Williams. Coach, it has been a while since we've gotten you on the show, but I do appreciate the time today. Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan. It's good to be here.
Coach, we'll start by talking about the way the regular season came to a close. You guys had an opportunity to potentially lock up the number two seed with a victory over JUAB. Unfortunately, JUAB, they're very, very good. They shut you guys out in back-to-back games. I know the one was a 10-0 loss on the road. You bring them home, and it's a 4-0. You guys were competitive, but you just had a problem scoring runs, it seems like.
Yeah, their little pitcher, she's one of the best pitchers in the state, and we really struggled to put any hits together.
As far as the offense looks, though, as a whole, I mean, do you feel comfortable with where you guys are at going into the state tournament?
Yeah, I we ended up with the number two seed. That was kind of our goal. Well, actually, you know, we wanted to win. We wanted to be number one. JUAB's obviously ranked number two in the entire state. So settling second behind them is not a bad place to be.
No, it's definitely not. And I think a true testament to just how difficult Region 12 is. We have a three-way tie for that final, or for that second, third, and fourth spot, which means there's a lot of equal teams in this region, which I know is always great to have high competition.
Yeah, I mean, the tiebreaker is kind of funny, is a coin toss, which is kind of crazy. We lucked out and won that, but if, you know, usually a tiebreaker, you go head-to-head records, and I thought, you know, I felt we were the second-best team, and we would have had a second anyways.
Yeah, the coin flips, we'll talk about that for a second, because Emory High School has had very poor luck with the coin flips over the last couple of years, particularly with their baseball program. You guys could go anywhere from number two all the way down to number four. Boy, what a difference a flip of a coin could possibly make for a potential state championship. I mean, they're putting a lot of emphasis on the flip of a coin.
Yeah, that's right, and it's happened before. And in fact, when we talked with the girls about it, you know, beforehand, the girls said, well, you know, some of the older girls said, don't get your hopes up because we've never won a coin toss. And so we actually flipped, and it was possible that we could have ended up in a two-way tie for second or a three-way tie for second or a two-way tie for third. And so we actually flipped coins accordingly to whichever way it would go, and we actually won both coin flips.
So now, even more difficult to win, too. When you win the flip and you know that you're going to be the number two seed, how big of a relief was that for you as a coach?
It's a little bit of relief because, like I said, I believe that's we're the second-best team in the region, and that's where we should have been anyway. To do well at state, you got to have a very good team, and you got to have a little bit of luck on your side. So I think we have both right now, so hopefully our luck continues.
Again, our guest right now is Carbon Lady Dinos softball coach Wade Williams. Coach, let's talk about the first round matchup. You guys will get Stansberry. That's the difference between being a number two and being a number four. You don't get a number one squad. Instead, you get a three. A little bit of a difference there. What do you know about Stansberry?
They're a good team. They're in a tough region. I think 3 days ago they were in a three-way tie for first place in their region. So as it shook out, they ended up the three seed. They're a good team. Their pitcher, we faced them last year in state, and I feel this year our odds are even better. So I'm excited about that. If we come to play, there's no reason we shouldn't be able to beat them.
If you guys do knock off Stansberry, you got to move on, and it's either Snow Canyon or Morgan. I'm assuming it's going to be Snow Canyon. Everybody knows that Region 9, it's stacked no matter what sport we're talking about. If it's basketball, if it's baseball, I mean volleyball, whatever, Region 9 is always extremely difficult. I don't know if you pay attention, Coach, to your potential second round matchup or if you just focus on the first round, but what do you make of getting either Snow Canyon or Morgan in the second round?
I'm excited. Actually, I think in softball, Region 10 is the region that's, you know, scares me. So if we can get past Stansberry, I like our chances against Snow Canyon. So,
well, I guess the good thing would be it's not going to be at Snow Canyon. I mean, you're not having to play a number one seed on their home field. But I mean, aside from that, you guys will travel to St. George this weekend, which means you're going to get good weather. We don't have to worry about a game being rained out. That's for sure.
Let's hope not. I think the forecast saying 92 degrees. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be good for softball weather. Coach, we'll talk about the tournament itself. Here you have a true double elimination format, but if you lose that first game, boy, life is extremely difficult. It's very tough to bounce back from that.
Yeah, it is, but good teams find a way to do that. I know it's been done in the past. But we're going to just try to avoid that altogether and not get in the loser's bracket.
So as far as pitching goes, it's different, I know, than baseball. You don't have a pitching limit. But how many strong pitchers do you feel you have to have in order to be productive in the state tournament?
You can go a long ways with one pitcher. We are fortunate. I feel we have two girls that have traded pitching varsity all year long. That's Kenley Nelson and McKenna Sorensen, and they've just both done an outstanding job. So, and then we have some younger pitchers that, if we needed, we could bring them up. But, you know, we'll go with our two juniors. They've got us there, and we'll go with them as long as we can.
As far as the rotation within the team itself, even at the skill positions, how do you determine that? I mean, how do you change up, or do you change up at all from what you have done in the regular season? Does it tighten up a little bit? I mean, do you roll with the same girls game in and game out? Is it still a situational deal? How does that change for you now that you're in the state tournament?
If you followed us this year, each game is a new adventure for us. I've kind of experimented throughout the year. But we're gonna tighten it up a little bit, and kind of the season we try to get, you know, win as many games, but let as many girls play first and secondary positions as much as possible. But now it's you know, win or go home. So we're gonna play every game, put the best team we can on the field at the time, and try to win the game.
Let's go back to the regular season for a minute, Coach. At what point in time of the season did you look at your team and say, okay, this team can win a state championship? They're capable of doing great things at the end, you know, the end of the year tournament.
I've known all along. Last year, we returned six varsity players. We have some underclassmen that have really, really stepped up this year nicely. So, really, I think our limit this year is ourselves on our team chemistry and how we come together and work together. There's been games when our chemistry has been really good, and you know, it's scary how good we can be. Other games, not so much.
Have you seen that team chemistry kind of develop as the year has gone on, or is it something that maybe has been a problem in the middle of the season or at different times of the season?
It's kind of been there back and forth all year long. It's something I think we've struggled with as a team, but usually teams that struggle and overcome obstacles, you know, come out better in the end.
You know, they say it's always important to be playing your best ball when you get to the state tournament. I mean, we take a look at Emory baseball here for a moment. This is a team that was a 4 seed going into the tournament. Now they're one of only 4 teams remaining that haven't lost yet going into today's action. Do you feel that you guys are playing your best softball? I mean, I know you just suffered 2 losses to JUAB, but that's a very good team. I mean, do you feel that you are playing better than you have all year at the right time?
I do. The first time we played them, they beat us pretty good. The second game was a lot closer. We still had a couple errors on defense. We tightened up our defense a little bit, and we'd have been in extra innings playing that game, nothing. So on the bright side, I think we can just get better.
Well, you only need one win to make sure that you get into next week's competition, Coach. But, you know, congratulations on a very successful regular season. I know second place, as you said, it was a realistic expectation, knowing what JUAB has. You guys finished 4-4, and you end up winning the coin flip. So congratulations in that regard. I know you're busy. I'll let you go, Coach, but hopefully we can catch up next week, and hopefully we're talking about a victory.
I hope you're right. So I look forward to that phone call.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, thanks, Jordan.
Coach Wade Williams of the Carbon Lady Dino softball squad. Again, Carbon will open up 3A tournament play Saturday. They'll take on Stansbury, 10 a.m. start time. That game will be in St. George. We've got to pause for just a moment. We have more coming up. When we return, we're going to move over to talk NBA basketball here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m. Back after this.